Welcome to Capital Baptist Church, and welcome to our brand new teaching series called Deep Love, Enjoying Strong Relationships. I'm so glad you're here for our opening message, or I'm so glad you're listening online to the message. And right now I'd like to ask you to take your Bible or your device and go to Psalm 119. Is actually the longest chapter in the whole Bible. And we're going to look at one of those verses in that long chapter, and that is verse number 73. The book of Psalms, it's about halfway through your Bible, okay? So if you're using a physical Bible, go about halfway through, and you'll see a book, P-S-A-L-M-S, Psalms. And go to Psalms 119, if you have a device. Just search it there as well. Also, as you're turning there, inside of your program is a study guide of our message. It looks like this. And I'd like to ask you to go back into your program and pull out that study guide. If you're listening online, you can download the study guide. And here's the deal. I put this together, and the reason I do so is to get the most out of our message. The reality is we don't have long, okay? We don't have long. And we need to get the most we can out of this time together. And so that study guide will help make that happen. So I'm going to be following along with it, and I would advise you to do the same thing. And there are some places where you can take some notes. There's some blanks that you can fill in, and I hope that you'll do just that. Well, I'm excited about this teaching series and what God can do through it. And I'm looking forward to our message today as we talk about this very, very important topic of personality. Personality. Before we get into that, let's look at the front of our study guide where I write this. No one wants a shallow relationship, right? I mean, just think about it. I mean, we can't go deep in love with everybody, okay? That's just not possible. But none of us want to have a life that's just filled with all shallow relationships. We want to sink the roots of our relationship deep into love. Things like deeper conversations and bonding. Deeper intimacy and passion. And that's exactly what the Deep Love Relationship Series can do for you. And what you got to understand, this is so important, that this is for couples and individuals. So yes, this is for couples. But it is not a marriage series, it's a relationship series. And the reality is, those that are married are going to get the most, not out of the teaching series. Yes, it's going to help your marriage, but really what's going to help you the most is that assessment, okay? That assessment, doing the deep love assessment, and not just taking it, but listen, taking time to have those times together, to go through it together, and really look at your relationship and make the improvements it suggests for you to make. You're going to get the most out of the assessment and how that can help you when it comes to your marriage. It is going to help you as a couple, but also it's going to help individuals. 99% of what I'm going to say is going to apply to every person and every relationship, okay? So understand that this is a relationship series, not just a marriage series. You need to understand this is for people who want to move from broken to better. Some of you are going through a hard time in your relationships right now. And you're broken, okay? Some of you have a marriage that's broken. And so this series is going to help you to move to getting better, okay? We want to help you get better. Some of you are doing pretty good, okay? You're doing good in your relationships. You're doing good in your marriage. But guess what? We can all do better, right? Okay? Debbie and I can have a better marriage. And you can have a better marriage. And we can all have better relationships. So if you're doing pretty good, that's great. But let's move to great. Okay, let's get over there and let's make it even better. Now, our key verse for the series is 1 Peter 4:8. It says, above all, love each other deeply. So here the Bible puts a priority on love. It says above all, above all. And, of course, it was Jesus who gave us the great commandments, right? He says the first commandment is to love God with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then he said the second commandment is to love your neighbor as yourself. So God puts a priority on loving one another. And that's why it says above all. Peter is just kind of reinforcing what Jesus said when he was on the earth. And above all, we're to love each other deeply, deeply. We're to go deep in love. Now, this series will help you learn how to enjoy. That's a key word. Circle that word. Enjoy strong relationships. I mean, let's face it. The greatest pleasure that you will ever have in life is going to come from people. The greatest pain you're going to ever have in your life is going to come from people. Right? The greatest things I've ever experienced in life, the greatest pleasure I've ever experienced in life came from relationships. But listen, the greatest pain I've ever experienced in life also came from relationships. And so the whole idea is to learn how to, you know, enjoy, okay, to really experience the pleasure of relationships, to enjoy strong relationships, because there's really nothing like it, okay, than having strong relationships. Now, to help us do that, we're going to look at six topics. Now, it's always hard in these relationship series to know exactly what to cover because there's so much it can be covered. And so what we're going to do in this series is we're going to look at six different areas. And those areas are personality, which we're going to look at today. Next week will be communication. And then we're going to talk about conflict. Then we're going to talk about intimacy. Then we're going to talk about adaptability. What does that mean? Well, in relationships, expect the unexpected. You know, expect the unexpected. I mean, you're going to have, you know, car accidents like our family's experienced. You're going to have situations come up that you don't know are going to come up. But that's part of life, you know. And you got to learn how in relationships to be adaptable. You got to learn how to be adaptable. And then the last message is going to be dealing with harmony. Harmony. Well, today we're talking about personality. Personality. This is so important. What a complex issue this is. I mean, personality is a complex issue. Yet it's an important issue when it comes to relationships. Because most of the time, when you look at relationships and challenges you have in relationships, it's easy to think, well, I'm just kind of having an interpersonal challenge in this relationship. The truth is, almost every time what you're having is a personality challenge. Almost all interpersonal challenges, not all, but almost all interpersonal challenges are based on personality. You're having a personality challenge. And so if you're going to go deep in love, you got to learn how to handle personality. You have to learn how to handle personality. Now, our key verse for this is Psalm 119, verse 73. Psalm 119, verse 73. And again, this is the longest chapter in the Bible. And in the midst of this long, long chapter, verse 73 says this, "Your hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn your commandments." Now, the reason I picked this verse as our key verse is because, number one, it tells us that God made us. And not only did he make us, he fashioned us. He fashioned us. So you got to understand, when it comes to personality, you did not choose your personality. God gave you your personality. Let me say that again. You did not choose your personality. God gave you your personality. So if your wife doesn't like you, just say, blame God. Whatever, okay? It's how God made me. Whatever. And then it says, give me understanding that I may learn your commandments. And so what we need is we need understanding. We need understanding. And we need to understand how we can learn God's commandments, and specifically, how can we learn God's commandment to love each other deeply. We need understanding, don't we? We need understanding. If we are going to love each other deeply when it comes to personalities, we need understanding. We need to realize, hey, God has made us. God has fashioned us. And part of his fashioning us was to give us our personality. Okay? And so we need God to help us. We need God to help us. And that's what we're going to ask God to do for us this day. So with that in mind, let's go to page 2 of our notes and let's talk about specifically how to enjoy deep love through personality. How can you enjoy, you know, your coworkers? How can you enjoy your neighbors? How can you enjoy your friends? How can you enjoy your husband? How can you enjoy your spouse? How can you enjoy your boyfriend? How can you enjoy your church family? How can you enjoy your enemies? Okay. How can you enjoy even your enemies? Well, a lot of it has to do with personality. So first of all, let's talk about understanding personalities. Four things you need to know about personalities. Four things. Number one, personality refers to the way you think, feel, and act. Personality refers to the way you think. So the way you think has everything to do with your personality. The way you feel has everything to do with personality. And the way you act has everything to do with personality. So you got to understand, this is what makes you you. Okay, your personality makes you you. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that there are diversities of operation. There are diversities of operations, but it is the same God who worketh all in all. So we have to understand that in the midst of personalities, there's going to be diversity. There's going to be diversity. Now, there are different things out here that kind of, you know, in these modern times we live in, that kind of help us understand personalities. And maybe you've done some of these things. There's, you know, like the temperaments, the different the sanguine, the choleric, all that kind of stuff. There's the Myers-Briggs, you know, and all that. A lot of you taking that at some point your life. There's even more than one that are animals. Okay, you take it and it tells you what kind of animal you are. The one I'm most familiar with is the DISC. That's the one I use the most. D is for dominant. I is for influential. S is for steady. C is for conscientious or the perfectionist. That's the one I use the most. And we call it the purple folder. In the purple folder, that's what we use to find out where God has shaped people to serve. We use the DISC. Any hiring I do, there's not a staff member on our staff that hasn't done the long version of the DISC. You get this big report, okay? And I show them my DISC. I want them to read about me, okay? And who I am. And things along those lines. So there's different ones out here, but the whole idea there is there's diversity, okay? There's diversity of operations. Now, we're challenging everyone to take what's called the deep love assessment. So this is another group, okay, describing personality. So in the deep love assessment, there are actually 8 personalities, all right? 8 of them. So you need to, if you're going to do that, you need to pay particular attention to these personalities and which one are you, okay? So in the deep love assessment, the parents who designed that, they've come up with 8 different personality types. So it's going to be real important for you to know your personality and know the person you are kind of comparing yourself to, which is probably your spouse or whoever that might be. So number one, personality refers to the way you think, the way you feel, the way you act. Number two, personalities are God-given. God-given. God gives us our personalities. He's the one that made us. The Bible says we are His workmanship. That means you're God's masterpiece. You are God's masterpiece. He made you. He, and part of His workmanship in you is that you should have a personality. And so God gave you that personality. And so you got to understand, you didn't choose your personality. Okay, like I'm a DS in the DISC. I'm dominant. I'm a dominant person. You probably never noticed that before, okay? I'm also an S person. I'm steady. I can pastor the same church over 30 years, okay? Because I'm an S. I'm a steady personality or whatever, okay? And so that's me, okay? And And God gave me that. Okay, as part of me being his masterpiece, he says, I'm going to make Steve Reynolds a DS or whatever. And so we need to understand that. You didn't choose it. You didn't choose it. Number three, your personality influences every area of your life. And this is critical to understand. Because the Bible says in Job 10:8, your hands have made me and fashioned me. And listen to this. I love this statement. Underline this. An intricate unity. I love that. That's so beautiful. An intricate, you are intricate. That means you're complex. But yet God brought together unity in the midst of complexity. God brings together unity. So your personality influences every decision you make. And by the way, how you make decisions, not just the decisions you make, but even maybe more important, how do you go about making a decision? You know, your personality influences how you deal with change, or maybe better yet, how you don't deal with change. Okay, is it change easy? Is change hard? You know, a lot has to do with your personality. Your personality influences what makes you happy or unhappy, okay? Or what's funny or not funny. Anita told those jokes last night. Some of you laughed. Some of you didn't laugh. Was it a bad joke? Okay. No, I'm sure it was a great joke. Some of you thought it was funny because of your personality. Some of you thought it wasn't funny, and that's because you don't know good humor when you're here. No. That's because of your personality. Your personality has everything to do with that. Okay, you got to understand that. Your personality influences how you respond to problems. I mean, the way you approach a problem is based a lot on your personality. You got to understand this. It influences every area of your life. Every area of your life. And it makes it difficult. Okay? It makes it difficult. When I marry someone, I ask them to take this tool called Prepare Enrich. Prepare Enrich. And so if you ask me to marry you, I'm going to ask you to take the Prepare Enrich. And the reason I'm going to ask you to do that is the divorce rate for people that do that is much lower than those that don't. And so it looks at all these different areas, including personality. And so what it looks at all these different areas, and then it gives these different questions underneath it. And one of the questions on the personality is this. Are there any personality issues about your partner that bother you? Okay. Is there anything about their personality that bothers you? Now, I've probably done this 200 times. And I have never had anybody say, nope, there's nothing about their personality that bothers me. No, I get the most interesting, it's fun actually hear all this crazy stuff about people, okay, whatever. I could write a book about it or whatever, okay? Everybody has personality. And when we're trying to relate to each other, you know, I mean, there are things that, you know, that about my wife that bother me. I mean, I'm thankful nothing about me bothers her. Okay. But the point is, I mean, yes, there's going to be issues that you have because personality influences every area of your life. Okay. There's no way in the world you're going to come together with another person in a relationship and they not have personality things that don't bother you. It's just not going to happen. But the most important thing, put a star beside this, is God can produce good in every personality type. God can produce good in every personality type. You got to understand, listen, yes, your personality is perfect. God gave you the perfect personality for you. But the problem is, you're not perfect, okay? So here's the deal. You got the perfect personality, but you're not perfect. And so here's what happens. And this is what we got to understand. We sometimes allow sin to come into our personality. And so what is good, like for me, D is for dominant. But you know what? I can become a bully if I'm not careful. If I allow sin to get in my life, I can take what God designed for good, because we need deep personalities to make the world go around, right? Okay. But I can be filled with sin, and that sin can cause me to be mean and cruel and everything else. That is true with every personality. Every personality. And so what we have to understand is God can produce good in every personality type. God can take your personality and He can do good through it. The Holy Spirit, God's Spirit, allows you to control the negative. So if you allow the Holy Spirit to fill you, you can control the negative. And here's the wonderful part also, express the positive. Express the positive. Listen, a spirit-filled person, you know, and a personality can do wonderful things. Because the Bible says in Galatians 5:22-23, when you're spirit-filled, you have the fruit of the Spirit. And the Holy Spirit can come into your personality and give you love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and goodness and faith and meekness and temperance. This is what we need, okay? We need the Holy Spirit to fill us and to fill our personality so that we can use our personality in a positive way. Praise God. These are four things you got to understand. Number two, evaluating personalities. So let me just give you a little short list of some different personalities. And this is what you got to do on these personalities. This is just a short list. This is a sample list. So I want to give you three different comparisons of personality types. So the first question is this: are you an extrovert or an introvert? Are you an extrovert or are you an introvert? So some of us are, you know, outgoing, you know, we're extroverts. Some of us are introverts. And, you know, this impacts your marriage. So in our marriage, we have one extrovert, and it's not me, and we have one introvert. Now, let me tell you something about me, okay? I want to reveal something about me, okay? Most of you think I'm an extrovert because I get up here and speak like this. And I, you know, personalities are complex, okay? But I mean, God gives me grace, God's called me to do this, and I do it gladly, and I do it confidently, and I'm relaxed when I do it, okay? But the thing is, I can get up here and not have to deal with you, okay? You understand? Okay, I'm up here and you're out there, okay? So maybe that helps me or whatever, okay? But I'm not a people person. I'm really an introvert. I don't like groups, okay? I didn't avoid last night because of this, okay? But if I can get out of a group, I'll get out of the group, okay, or whatever, okay? I mean, I'm like that. A lot of people think when I show up at a meeting or something, oh, man, the big man's here, okay? Great things getting ready to happen. It's going to be fun. No, it's not. It's going to be horrible, okay? I mean, I regularly have people say to me, are you okay? Because the pastor, you know, up here, the pastor in that meeting, usually they're not very much the same. You say, you're being humble. No, I'm not. I'm telling you like it is. I'm just telling you like it is. Now, my wife, on the other hand, is an extrovert. Okay? She likes to be around people. She likes to be around excitement and parties and things like that. And this can cause some tension in our marriage, okay? Because we got an extrovert and an introvert, you know? Maybe you can relate to that. Here's an example of an extrovert in the Bible. His name was Peter. I'm going to give you a biblical example of all these. Peter, in Matthew chapter 14, here's Peter. So here's Jesus walking on the water. Remember the story? And Jesus identifies himself and says, it's me, okay? And Peter, who's the one that speaks up? Peter's the one that speaks up. They're all afraid. Remember, they were afraid. And Peter speaks up and says, Lord, if it, you command me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. And Peter had come down out of the boat. He walked on the water to go to Jesus. So here's this extrovert Peter, you know. Yeah, they're all afraid, but who's the first one to speak? Peter. Who's the first one to walk on the water? Peter. In Matthew chapter 16, remember Jesus said to them, who do you think I am? Who do you think I am? And in verse 15, it says, but who do you say that I am? And so, who is the one that answers the question? Simon Peter. Peter says, you're the Christ. You're the Son of the living God. Peter was an extrovert. Acts chapter 2. You know, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down and baptized them and filled them. And who was the first person to get up and start preaching? Not to a small crowd. 3,000 people came to know Jesus. So there was at least 3,000 there, probably many more than that. Who was that one that was willing to get up and speak? Okay, it was Peter. You may be like Peter. Question number two, are you project-oriented or people-oriented? So that project-oriented person, they're about their to-do list, right? And they would prefer to work alone. They you know, because people are going to get in their way from getting their to-do list done, whatever. And then some people are people-oriented. I mean, they can't stand to be alone. They're going to work on something. They want other people around and things like this. An example of this might be Mary and Martha. Remember this story in Luke chapter 10? You know, Jesus came over to their house, Mary, Martha, and their brother Lazarus. And he's over at their house, and the Bible tells us in verse 39 that Mary sat down at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. But Martha, it says in verse 40, was distracted with much serving. Now, I think this is a personality-driven issue here, okay? Yes, I know Jesus was there, but I believe this is how Mary was. Mary was about people. She was about the relationship. Martha, on the other hand, I believe she was a project-oriented person. So she's about much serving. She's glad Jesus is there, and she's probably preparing food or whatever for Jesus. But she's doing her thing, okay? She's doing her thing. And it causes a problem so much that Martha starts complaining to Jesus, right? Martha says to Jesus in verse 40, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. Tell her to help me, Lord." I know that I love the spiritual part here. Jesus is there. Jesus said you've chosen the better part. All that stuff. That's great. Okay. But when you look at this text from a personality standpoint, I believe you see two different personalities going on here. Okay. I believe you see a project-oriented person, Martha, and a people-oriented person, Mary. And yes, Jesus is in the house. Nobody can be more important than Jesus. But I believe if anybody was in the house, they'd be going just the same way. I believe Mary would be sitting there talking to him, and Martha would be up there working away. Okay? This can cause a problem in your relationships. How about this one? Do you like variety or are you routine? Some people love variety. They get up and say to their spouse, "What are we going to do today?" The other spouse says, "Hopefully the same thing we did yesterday, okay?" Well, what's wrong with that? Wasn't yesterday a good day? Yeah, but we got to do something new today. We got to have something new going on today. Here's a guy that was into routine, the Apostle Paul, Acts 16. It says, he's out on his what's called the missionary journeys. And he goes all over the place, doesn't he? It says he went through Phrygia, went through Galatia. Verse 7, came down to Mysia, then over to Bithynia, but the Holy Spirit didn't let him go there. Then they passed through Mysia. They came down to Troas. Then they got a call to go over into Macedonia. And Paul, he thrives in this atmosphere. I mean, he's moving all over the place. He's going here and he's going there. You know, he loved variety. God made Paul to love variety. So this is just a sample list, but I'm trying to show you how you got to have to make these evaluations. You have to evaluate this and you have to look at this, okay? And again, I just want to highlight the deep love assessment, okay? So up at the top of the page is the wheel, okay, that shows your personality and the person you pick for the comparison, their personality. And then down below, it goes through some of these things, actually more than this, you know? And it shows the way your spouse is. They're this way, one is feeling oriented, one is fact oriented. You got to make these evaluations, okay? You got to make these evaluations. And then lastly, as we wrap it up, and this is the most important part right here, relating to personalities. Relating to personalities. So what do you do about this? So say, great, I understand. Wonderful. Great, I've made, an evaluation. Wonderful. I still can't stand the person, okay? So what am I going to do now? Well, here's some things to help you. Number one, acknowledge personality differences. Just acknowledge they exist. Okay? Another example is Genesis 25, talking about these two brothers. Okay? Jacob and Esau, you know. You know, you ever had your kids and said, how can they come from us? They're so different. Well, that's true, okay? And Esau, he was a skillful hunter, and he was a man of the field. And Jacob, he was a mild man, and he liked to dwell in tents. And the way I interpret that was, you know, Esau was kind of a country personality, and Jacob was kind of a city personality. That's kind of how you know, one wants to be out in the field, one wants to be in tents, okay? And I can relate to that because my brother and I are just the same as them, okay? My brother's also a pastor, but he pastors in a totally different area than I do. He pastors in Caroline County, Maryland. And I think they're trying to get up to 20,000 people, and they might make it by the 2040 census or whatever. I don't know, okay? I go crazy over there, okay? It's just not for me, okay? I mean, they got all kinds of fields you can dwell in over there, okay? And Don Reynolds, Esau, he's over there. He's a skillful hunter, too, by the way. I mean, I sold my guns. I don't want to go hunting. I mean, I got grocery stores. Why in the world would I want to go out? What kind of idiot wants to go out there in the woods and do all that kind of thing? I mean, you got to be stupid to do something like that, right? Now, these are personalities. You know? Jacob, he was a city guy. He wanted some tents. He wanted to, you know, hang out or whatever, okay? You know, I don't even want a tent. I want a hotel at least. Amen, okay? You guys, y'all go on your Memorial Day tent thing. I won't be there, okay? You and Pastor Bob can have a great time down there at the tent thing, okay? Just have a, by the way, we're having that again on Memorial Day weekend. Okay, anyway, moving forward here, okay? Acknowledge personality differences. Acknowledge it in parenting, by the way. The Bible says, train up a child, and underline this, in the way he should go. And when he's old, he will not depart from him. You know what this verse talks about? It talks about personality. It talks about how every child has a certain bent. And you got to train your child according to the way they should go. Meaning not every child. Jacob and Esau are two different children, okay? And sometimes, like I said, you'll look at your kids and you say, no way, you know, we picked up the wrong kid or something happened here, you know? That's how it is, okay? And it says when they're old, they won't depart from it. And if all our kids are at least 30 years old now, you know? But I'm telling you, when it comes to their personality, they're just like they were when they were 7 years old, okay? I mean, they really are, you know? I mean, my wife and I can see it because we're their parents, you know, whatever. I mean, they're still basically the same as they were back when they were a child, you know? And you have to consider in your parenting the bent of your child. And yes, you can have some standards that everybody follows, but you still got to consider the way you even approach and apply those standards, okay, according to the bent of your child. And if you say every child is going to be parented the same way, you know, you're going to have problems, okay? You're going to have major problems. Number two, accept personality differences. Do what Jesus did. Jesus, it says to receive one another. That means you got to accept your spouse. Just like Christ received them. Quit trying to change your spouse. Quit trying to change the personality of your spouse. Because it's never going to happen. You know, here's the rule on relationships, okay? If something, particularly marriage, if something bothers you a little bit before you get married, it's going to bother you a lot after you get married, okay? Don't think doing some vows is going to make it go away. Just the opposite. It's going to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. Are you encouraged? Amen. Okay. The Bible talks about bearing with one another. Bearing with one another. Right? And then the most important thing is appreciate personality differences. This is what our marriage assessment says for Debbie and I. Our marriage assessment says this. You guys are opposites. You look on that circle, I'm on one side and Debbie's on the other side. We're on totally opposite sides. Because you know what? Most of the time, opposites attract, but then opposites attack. Okay? Opposites do a lot of times attract. But a lot of times, and we'll talk about this when we talk about conflict, opposites then attack. And you know what it tells me that Debbie and I have to do? We have to appreciate each other. We have to appreciate each other. It doesn't say go out and try to change Debbie and make her what you want. It doesn't say that at all. It says Steve Reynolds. Didn't say Steve Reynolds, I don't think. But anyway, hey dude, you pioneering guy. That's why I'm a pioneering personality, okay? You better appreciate your wife. That's what you got to do. Because if we're all the same, one of us is of no use, okay? The Bible says that we're to prefer one another. And the Bible says that, listen, everybody's necessary. Everybody's necessary. You're necessary and I'm necessary. So that person in the office is driving you crazy. You know, that perfectionist, they got all their, you know, all their paper clips are all lined up and they're color coded, and you know, you're a big slob over there with your, you don't even know where yours are, your paper clips are, you know. Just appreciate that person. Man, thank God somebody's keeping up with the paper clips in this office. Praise God. Amen. We need somebody like that around here, okay? Praise the Lord. Appreciate them. Appreciate them. So the question is, are you enjoying deep love through personality? Above all, love. I'm going to put it this way. Love every personality deeply. Above all, love every personality deeply. Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for making us. God, give us understanding when it comes to loving each other deeply with personalities. In Jesus' name, amen.